But we're not going to be hearing about safaris and African animals. We're going to be hearing about SOZO, which is one of the mission projects that we support as a church. And so we're just going to begin with a clip about that. And then Liz and Sarah are going to kind of talk a little bit about what they saw when they were visiting Steve out there.
Welcome to Vrygrond, one of the oldest townships in Cape Town, South Africa. As you drive around Vrygrond, the sights, sounds, and smells of the township are vibrantly alive on each corner. Children laugh and play in the streets. Entrepreneurs open up for a day's trade, and taxis weave in and out of the daily traffic, creating the hustle and bustle of a diverse and resilient community. But ask a local about the problems in the community, and they will soon reveal a darker side to this beautiful place. In the year 2000, 1,600 homes were built to house approximately 8,000 people. Today, NGOs estimate that just over 40,000 people live in this one square kilometer. Gangs breed fear and violence. Drugs rob young men and women of hope. With no high school in Vrygrond, young people cross multiple gang territories to learn in overcrowded and under-resourced schools. Disillusioned and with little hope of securing a job, many drop out and never complete their education. Jobs are scarce and new arrivals are plenty. Houses catch fire easily and sickness can spread just as fast. But imagine this wasn't the end of Vrygrond's story. Imagine it was possible to help people to know they're loved so they can love others. Imagine if this one simple idea brought a group of people together to dream about the future of this community. If we gathered around the areas of education, skills, youth, and well-being. If we supported young people to complete their education and gave them a hope for their future. Imagine if we built an education center right in the heart of the community that could one day become the first high school in Vrygrond. If we equipped unemployed young people with skills, training, and apprenticeships, producing entrepreneurs and skilled employees. Imagine if we gathered unemployed adults and taught them how to grow their own food and sell the excess to generate income. Imagine if we empowered community members with life skills that benefited their entire families. What if the time for imagining was over? SOZO Foundation, a non-profit based in the heart of Vrygrond, helping people to know they're loved so they can love others.
Okay, thank you, Emily. If you can switch on to Keynote now, and we just need to get the technology working, if it will. Okay, so there you go. There is the SOZO Foundation building. So there's some pictures of us later on actually outside, which feels a bit weird when we've seen that video before. You guys might have seen that before, and we'd obviously seen it a few times. And then to actually go there was really exciting and a little bit surreal, I think, wasn't it, Mum?
Yeah, that's Steve's van in the corner. Sorry, that's Steve's van in the corner where he picked us up and took us. I just need to mention this.
So we were going to give you a bit of an introduction, first of all, to South Africa and what we were expecting. So I'm going to hand over to Mum for that.
Yeah, so off we went to Cape Town. The reason we went really was because Sarah trained with a girl in Bristol as a physio who is out in Cape Town working with a mission, a different mission. And Sarah had been saying for ages she'd visit, and then it looked like she might be going on her own, so I thought I'd go with her. So off we went, and maybe in our eyes we had some images like that one. Sarah's going to show us quite where it is.
Okay, so this is Africa, most of Africa, the sort of bottom half. Let's see if this technology works. So there's South Africa is in the circle, and then there's South Africa as a country, and this little tiny circle on the left-hand side is where Cape Town is. So Cape Town felt quite big, but actually when you look at a map of South Africa, it's a very small part of it. And then this is what Cape Town looks like up close. So that's sort of, again, on the left-hand side, that bit that comes down, and then there's that big bay of water. We are actually staying in that nice green bit near the bottom, but Cape Town's sort of at the top of that. And then the circle is where Vreugde is, which is that township where Steve is working. And then, let's see if we can get the next one up. There's a slightly zoomed-in version of the area, and in the square is Vreugde. So it's a very square township. It's a kilometre square that was specifically built to be like that, and that's it kind of zoomed in even more. So you can see just a few kind of basic roads, and then if you can see the star, that's where Sozo is. So it's next to a primary school, and it was originally sort of built out of the fact that there's no secondary school in Vreugde. So the kids go to the primary school, and then they have to cross all these dangerous townships to get to high school. So lots of them were dropping out. So they started to build Sozo so that the kids can then transition across and do... It's not quite a secondary school in itself yet, but it gives them something that will help them then go on and learn new skills and things like that. So that gives you an idea of where it is. And now Mum's going to show you what we thought it might look like in South Africa.
So, I don't know, maybe some of you have been on holiday. I know it's a popular holiday destination. And I suppose we might have had some images in our mind, like this one, which is right on the waterfront. You can see Table Mountain in the background, and then you've got a beautiful view from the top of Table Mountain looking down right over Cape Town, and then there's all these lovely picturesque sunsets and wonderful bays, and it's all very gorgeous. But then suddenly, when we got there, it was slightly different, because we saw the signs about the water, I think. Then you realise there seem to be lots of signs of warnings. Baboons, which we didn't actually see, sadly. Shark warnings everywhere. Please look under your vehicle for penguins. But the more significant one, perhaps, is the one on the right-hand side, hijacking hotspot, which I don't think I've ever seen in the UK. And then we got to Sarah's friend's house, and I might have maybe realised, because there was a gate that had to be opened remotely, and then there were bars over all the windows, there were locks on all the doors, and as soon as you entered any rooms, bells rang, basically, alarms. So this is slightly different from where I live in Highbrooms, where I leave my doors open and wander in and out. And inside the house, there's this lovely family, and they had warned us, there's this little fellow who's called Daniel, who's 1 week old. So in this country, I think if a one-week-old baby is taken into foster care immediately, you know there's something fairly serious behind it. So I was all like, oh my goodness, whatever happened? Oh, it was just that the mother didn't want this child, which is unusual for us. Anyway, this child fortunately was born in hospital, so he was in reasonably good health. And the following day, the whole family had to go to Cape Town to get their visas renewed. So Sarah and I suddenly are in possession of a one-week-old baby and a sling and nothing much else. So we go off to the beach with Daniel in a sling. Daniel will probably be fostered for about 3 months and then hopefully adopted, as long as no one comes forward from an advert in the newspaper to say they wish to have him. What a different culture. The next one, can I? On the Sunday, we went to church with Sarah's friends, and there was this strange-looking erection outside the main foyer, which I've never seen in England, and I don't know if any of you ever have seen anywhere. Open the door, the green light shows, place the baby inside, close the door, the red light shows, the door will automatically lock. Someone will retrieve your baby in 3 minutes. Apparently in South Africa, there are about 3,000 babies a year abandoned, and a lot of them deposited in these kind of places. I was quite taken aback and asked Sarah's friend, do you actually get babies delivered to your church? And she said, probably 3 or 4 times a year. Not that many. Most of the ones we get come through the hospital. But 2 days after we came home, she sent me a text to say they'd found another baby in the baby safe. And this one was a brand new little boy, who they've called David, with the cord still attached, unclamped and bleeding. So I began to see that South Africa actually was quite a different place from Highbrooms.
Yeah, and I think quite different to what we expected as well. We obviously knew a bit about the work of Sozo and the young people, but from a point of view of from birth and even almost before birth, what these kids are potentially kind of being born into. So Sozo's building is beautiful. They've got a team of guys that they're teaching to build and plumb and do electrics and all that kind of thing, which we'll show you a bit of later. But because they've got those, they can keep their building looking really smart, which has a real impact when you drive into the township. And this is a picture of what's behind Sozo, which you can't see. But I've also got a picture that I did actually get off Google of another township Which is a much bigger township called Kailisha, and it's a few kind of kilometres on from Freycrond, but it's just like shack after shack after shack, just goes on and on and on and on. And that's the sort of setting, really, that Sozo is within. So now a few more holiday snaps. There's Mum with Steve outside the building, just to prove we were there. And this is off Sozo's website. Their kind of mission statement, if you like, is collaborating to see a community transformed through unconditional love. So they're just trying to pour in love, and then they're going to empower the community to sort of help themselves. So Steve was very much saying they're not going to be there forever. They're not running something that then the people become reliant on. It's all about training the young people, and they're already seeing some of those people that have been trained coming back to Sozo to teach young people themselves, which is incredible. They've got five sort of main areas that they're looking at projects-wise, although Steve is a real ideas man, and he's just constantly coming up with more for them to do and new projects to start. So who knows, by another year's time, they might have twice as much as they're doing at the moment. But the main things are that they're overall looking at people's care, the young people being looked after. There's quite a high level of abuse in Freycrond and other townships. Then they have design, which is specifically graphic design at the moment. Education, so they've got an edu-centre where they do like after-school stuff. They give kids access to computers and things. The cafe, which is where Steve started, and then Eden, which is the garden. So we just thought we'd go through a little bit of each of those. So this is all off their website if you want to look. You just literally Google Sozo and you'll get it. So the care stuff is really kind of life skills training, giving them an opportunity for counselling. They've got quite a lot of social workers involved, trying to sort of give them a better foundation to start from. And then the design part of the website talks about empowering and equipping gifted young people from Freycrond in the area of graphic design. So we met three young guys that were sitting in the dark on computers learning how to use Photoshop, which was quite cool. And all the stuff on their website is made by kids that are in Sozo. And then this is the schools part, so trying to get them through high school and finish. Loads of the schools, like here, require the kids to use computers, and they go home to their township and they don't have any computers. So Sozo gives them a chance to use computers. There's lots of them around. This was a section in their cafe where they've got really nice smart areas with computers that the kids can come into after school and use. And then I think, Mum, do you want to talk a bit about that one?
This is the health and beauty salon. One of the big problems, as Sarah mentioned, is there's no secondary school in Freycrond, so those kids have to travel across township areas, which are potentially very, very dangerous and expensive, and so they just don't get to secondary school, so they drop out. And once they haven't matriculated, they can't get a job, they can't do anything. So the whole point of Sozo, as Sarah's explaining, is to try and get them to an educational level and a job training level where they can get a job, so that if they have a baby later, it's not going to end up in a baby safe or in a field somewhere, that they can have a life and eventually maybe get a decent house. So this is the area where they're teaching them. They do a lot of hairdressing, beauty treatments, and then behind that, there's through that little door, they're teaching them massage. And there are a lot of qualifications for life where they will get jobs locally. So it's all useful skills, but they also need the educational side. So they're putting in both. They've got about, I think, 96 students going through the educational thing who would otherwise probably have just ended up stuck in the townships and maybe got caught up with all the gangs and all the gun warfare and all the drugs and be in prison. Some of their kids do end up in prison, do end up caught in it, but a lot of them are doing really, really well. I think one year they had about 100% matriculated.
Steve showed us a photo of a previous year's group of students, and he was saying, you know, like, they've got a job, and then he'd be like, they're back in prison, they've just come out of prison. So there's a weird kind of mix of the kids that are doing really well. So there was a girl who was working as one of the tutors in the beauty bit who had been through Sozo herself, and then there's other kids that are still sort of in and out of that gang scene and do kind of come in and out of prison. But they have got an amazing guy. If we just skip on. So this is the cafe. Actually, let me skip on and then we'll come back. We'll talk about Cecil. So this is Cecil. Do you want to talk a bit about him, Mum? He's on the video.
Cecil,
you might have seen him.
Who on the video looks very smiley and benign. But as you can see, I think looks quite scary. And certainly when we were introduced to him, I felt a little bit nervous because he has a large number of teeth in his mouth, separate from anything else. When he sort of half smiled, there seemed to be an extra row, which was slightly scary. Anyway, as you can see, he runs, if we go on, yeah, he oversees the youth who are learning all the building, plumbing, electrical skills. And so this is his sort of warehouse, and they're learning to build there, you can see, various things. And he explained to us about his different jobs and things. And so I said to him eventually, how did you get into this? Were you a teacher before? And he said something about, well, when I was in prison, I did a lot of teaching other people and overseeing lots of people. And I sort of thought, I'm not sure if he means he taught in prison or he was in prison, maybe the latter. And then when Steve drove us on, he said, oh, yes, he's an amazing Christian guy now. And he's the kindest, most gentle person. But he said, he has said to me on occasion, you know, they think I'm very patient. They shouldn't push me too far because actually, when my patience runs out in the past, I just tie people up and murder them and burn them. So they need to know that that was my previous lifestyle. At which point I thought, yeah, I thought when I shook your hand, you just felt slightly different from my average. But he's the most amazing guy. And of course, that commands respect in the area. It gives Steve a degree of protection from some of the gangs in the local township because he's kind of got someone like that watching his back slightly. So actually, that's a massive blessing, I think, from God as well. And no one's going to take any nonsense from Cecil, I don't think. I certainly wouldn't dare thwart him.
Yeah, he was definitely, I think, the coolest guy that we there, just from a respectful point of view. But yeah, the township are really in favour of Sozo, and that's largely thanks to Cecil, because he's sort of spoken to the leaders and the kind of main gang leader people, and so they've sort of got his back. And he actually built the Sozo building, so he's been there from the very beginning, and obviously has a background right back to the beginning of his life in township. So another example of where Sozo's really empowered people which who are living in the area and who started out in the area. So he was really cool. Let's go back a bit. Let's have a look at the cafe. See if I can find it.
The coffee culture in South Africa, I'm sure if anyone who's been there knows, is amazing. They do the most fantastic coffee. Chris needs to go. And it's cheap. Unbelievable. So barista jobs are very, very popular. And that's one of the main skills that they, I think they started with training a lot of the youth, didn't they, to do. And when we got there, there were a group going out on a tour, weren't they? So we just said hello and then they drove off. But basically they're training them in also, they know that apparently they're great experts on all the yeah. beans and the sorts of roasts and all sorts of things that are quite beyond me.
Yeah, they were going out to a roastery to learn how to roast beans, and apparently they have great long conversations. They're just teenagers about which beans from which African country and how you roast them and then what drinks you make out of it. Like Steve was saying, he doesn't know half of what they know. So that's so cool, isn't it, that they're like teenagers that have got all those skills now. So that's the area that they're working in.
Because Steve was managing that bit, wasn't he? But he's yeah. now handing that on. I think their whole principle is that they train people up and hand on so that everyone managing all the different areas we visited were all local people. They get a lot of tutors come in from Cape Town in different specialities, but otherwise it's staffed locally by people largely who've come through the project, gained the expertise and stay there, which of course is the principle that you need.
And then the last bit that we saw was Eden, so that's the garden that they've set up. Now, there are two things that are important with gardening there, which we would probably not even think of. One is that the soil is basically sand, so there's very little that they can grow in it there. And also there was a massive water shortage when we got there. So that sign that was in those warning signs at the beginning said about the fact that the dam's only got like 28% of the water in it left that it should have. And that was from February, so that's like way before we arrived. And I think Mum and I were both fairly stinky when we got home because we basically had to shower as quickly as you possibly could, collect all the water that was spare from the shower and then use that to flush the toilets. You know, it was really like, it was just so different here. Yeah, it was probably our least favourite thing. And we both came home and had really long showers.
And flushed the loo every 5 minutes.
So you can imagine that gardening is something that seems quite straightforward. They could grow crops, they could sell them, but in reality, you've got nowhere sensible to grow things and you've got no water. So they've grown this amazing garden, and they've also put another garden into the school, which is just next door. So the primary school kids are learning as well. And the way that they do it is they basically dig a big hole and then they put in, they've got some manure and some kind of decent compost, but then they chuck in things like old bones and tin cans and things like that. And they somehow manage to compost it. So then the soil that they've got there is incredibly good quality. And so then that's why stuff is flourishing so well. And they had stuff that was like ready to pick and eat, and it just did look so lush and green compared to everywhere else. And then this is Steve with a new project that they're trying out, which is called aquaponics, which is about filtering a water system so that you've got a limited supply of water and you can use it over and over again to grow your crops. So where he's pointing is these kind of blue troughs, and they had plants growing in there in gravel, so they didn't have any soil. But because the water was being filtered through the gravel, the plants were able to get the nutrients from the water, and then they were growing from there. So they then also had, I didn't take a picture of it, but they had a very small scale version of that that they were saying kids could actually have at home, and then they could use that to grow their stuff at home. The one downside of that is that it needs a pump to move the water through the system, and the pumps get nicked because they've obviously got some kind of value attached to them. So of all the things that they've had potentially at risk in Sozo, the only thing they've had stolen is a couple of pumps. So, you know, it looks like it would work really well, but it's reliant on people managing to keep their things safe, which in a township is not that easy to do.
You can see all the barbed wire, can't you, up against the school there. Everything is like that, gated, locked, barbed wire. Steve's latest thing is to write a manual for that gardening project. That's his next thing he's doing.
So then I texted him this week to see whether there was any more news, and the thing that he was waiting for when we were there was that they were waiting to get their visas renewed. So they've been out there 3 years, and they had to get a voluntary visa renewed for the whole family, and they submitted them, I think, the week before we arrived, and he knew when we were with him that the result of that was waiting for him at the embassy or wherever it is. And so we were fairly convinced, especially from what my friends had said about how difficult it is to get visas renewed, that if it had gone through that fast, it must have been declined and that they were going to have to do it all again. But he texted and said, no, they'd got their visas. Diana's, his wife, had come through in 11 days, which is like nigh on a miracle. So that's amazing. And I think that just really confirms to them that God wants them there still and that they've still got so much to do. And then the key points that you can pray for were the high school students have got exams coming up in the next few weeks, and then their youth cafe students, they've got graduation in December from their training. And then generally in Frekrond, they have elections for the township leaders. So they really want prayer that those people chosen are the right people that are then going to still be kind of on board with Sozo and supporting them. So if you want to pray, those are the main things at the moment to pray for. But you can get on their website, as I said, really easily, get loads more information. They've got loads of videos and different pictures and things like that. And if you want to give directly to Sozo, that's probably the easiest way of doing it. So what we thought we'd do now, that's sort of the end of our update for you.
Thank you so much for sharing. Isn't that awesome? Are you excited? I thought that was just amazing. Thank you.
It's a little bit whistle stop, but
if you've been here for a fifth Sunday, there, you know there's two parts of it. They've done the work. Now we're going to talk a bit about it around tables. And Sarah's going to give you some questions to talk about around the tables. I just wanted to say, while they do that, the bacon butties are going to come out. So you need to concentrate on what Sarah's saying and not be distracted by food appearing in front of you.
Okay, I'll be quick. So obviously it's really interesting to hear about Sozo and everything that goes on in South Africa that's 9,000 miles away. But actually, what are the implications for us in that? Other than giving money to Sozo, what can we do? So we thought we'd give you these questions. How and where can we be lights in our world? What practical steps could we take to be lights? And what could the equivalent of the work of Sozo be in Tunbridge Wells or in High Brooms? So whilst you're enjoying your bacon butties, have a little chat on your table about maybe some of those things.